really enjoyed the conversation. Hope you did too. Really found out a lot of stuff that I think fans would want to know going into the draft. It's pretty interesting too. I think, Ben, that Jeremy said the wide receiver is the strength of this draft.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. If people subscribe to the belief wide receiver is one of the needs for Detroit and how you rank them, and I believe it's a need, doesn't mean that I overreach. But knowing that you can get one in the second round is comforting to me. It really is. I think they need pass rushing as much, if not more, than anything else. But that doesn't mean that that's where you go in round one. It doesn't. I mean, you could go in a lot of different directions. You go by your board. That's what has made Brad Holmes so successful. It's hard for me to criticize a guy if I believe in his process and I've seen the process work. Doesn't mean he can't do no wrong. Doesn't mean that he isn't subject to criticism. Of course he is. Every general manager, every coach, every player is. But in general, if you see a guy whose philosophy has worked for the organization you passionately follow, not that you have to believe everything that he does, but you got to believe in the process. You have to be willing to say, you know what? If I'm trusting this guy and this is how he goes about building a team, building a winner, something that I haven't seen. And then you look at other teams who are successful and they have done it that way. It's okay to be a copycat once in a while. You still got to pick the right guy. Then you should understand, okay, you know what? He's going about his business. And if he's going to address the offensive line, it's not sexy. I get that. But if he's going to get the offensive line in the first round because he thinks that's where the best player is going to be to help his team moving forward, you should understand that. Doesn't mean you got to agree with it, but you can understand it, right? I think the changing moment for Lions fans and Brad Holmes was last year. Not just that they won the division or played in the NFC title game, or you could argue were the better team in that title game for most of the game. Obviously, the better team won, but for most of the game, I think the changing moment was Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know anyone, and I mean that. Anyone I talk to, casual fan or knowledgeable sports caster, writer, follower, whatever, who thought that was the right pick. And guess what? It turned out to be the right pick. This is what we heard constantly last year. We already have a running back. What's wrong with DeAndre Swift? Why did you draft Swift then? We don't need a running back. We have other needs, first and foremost. He saw the best player. He saw something, didn't he? He saw something you and I didn't. He saw something not many other people noticed. There might have been some other general managers who were going to try and take Jahmyr Gibbs that we're unaware of. And it's not that Brad Holmes is one of those guys who's, I'm the smartest guy in the room. No. He just believed in it. I love that about him. I really do. I think it's awesome. There's no reach there. There's no, I got to do something. Matt Millen, Brian Calhoun, Wisconsin, ridiculous. Let me make sure I get this. I got to have a name. He knows exactly what he wants to do. The preparation, to me, is really impressive. Not every draft pick's a home run. Not every draft pick is an immediate impact player. And not every player you draft is going to make it. What I've really liked is that this coaching staff and this organization, they found a way to get the most out of certain players, not just their draft picks. Look at Reeves Maybin, how good he's been. He was really good last year, wasn't he? Did you see that emerging? Like, we always look at a general manager, we take their draft picks and associate them with the man who picked them. We get that. But sometimes when you inherit a certain team or a certain player and you make that player better, that can be just as impressive. That's why I asked Jeremy about the fact that these guys are in sync with one another. The symmetry created between Brad Holmes and his staff and Dan Campbell and his staff is really impressive. You get Jalen Reeves Maven, and you see how he's elevated his game. And it makes you go, these guys are doing something with not just the guys they bring in, but the guys they currently have. He was a better player. Our phone number is 866-838-4843. It's the right way to go about things. It's the right way to go about building your team. And I'll be interested to hear people's reaction Friday morning to the draft picks of Detroit or the draft pick to Detroit. Will they truly believe, you know what? This is a situation where they reached or we didn't need that. And don't take this wrong. It's not that you can't disagree with what Brad Holmes is going to do, about to do, or has done. But you have to understand, appreciate, and respect his process and why he does it. I'll be free to admit, I wasn't in favor of trading TJ Hockenson. They get a third-round pick for him. They don't have a fourth-round pick because of the same Hockenson trade, but they do have a third-round pick. And you know what? They got the guy they picked to replace him, Sam Laporta, better. And when I say better, I don't mean just in offensively gifted, as in better hands, better route right. I mean, he's a better blocker than Hockenson. That was the knock on Hockenson. That was the reason I believe they traded him. And by the way, you saved a lot of money too there. 866-838-4843. That's the phone number on the Meyer hotline. You could text us, text Sports Radio to 21,000. Yeah, pretty excited about it. 7 selections overall for the Lions on draft day or draft weekend. Draft day is just Thursday, round one. It's just round one. And Detroit's going to have number 29 overall as of right now. They could trade out of it. They could trade up. Wouldn't surprise me either way. Perfect scenario, but realistic one. Who do they get? Take your phone calls on the other side on X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network across the great state of Michigan. Glad you're with us on a Tuesday.
In the den. Step up to the plate with Eagle Casino and Sports, the mobile sportsbook app that you can bet on all your favorites all year round, including, of course, our national pastime. So download the app and start winning today at Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan. Must be 21 years or older and in Michigan to play.
This is Matt Shepard. Sometimes the best moves in baseball involve the ones you don't make. Take Eduardo Rodriguez. Detroit inked him to a 5-year deal in 2021 with a player opt-out in 2023. 43. Rodriguez had a tenuous 2 years, or 43 starts, in Detroit and chose to sign with Arizona in the offseason. The Tigers lost a left-handed starter, but saved over $14 million a year in the process. Rodriguez gained some extra money, but is yet to make an appearance for the Diamondbacks, starting the season on the 60-day IL with a shoulder strain. Good decision by Detroit and Rodriguez, but perhaps not necessarily for Arizona.
Van Andel Institute Purple Community is a grassroots fundraising network powered by the dedicated volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve human health now and in the future. When you raise funds through the Van Andel Institute Purple Community, 100% of the proceeds go directly to the Institute's research into diseases like cancer and Parkinson's, as well as VAI's science education programs. Learn how you can get involved at purplecommunity.org.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Surprise you most in the NFL draft on Thursday in the first round, what would surprise you the most? I think if somebody other than Caleb Williams went one, here's what would surprise me the most. If Malik Nabers was taken ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think it's possible. I really do. Nabers is really fast. Now, he's 6 feet, 200 pounds. Harrison's 6'3", 6'4", 205. But Nabers is super quick. Gets the ball in his hands. He can run away from most people. He's a hell of a receiver. He was just overlooked because of Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. deserves it. Don't take it this the wrong way. He's a really dynamic player. But Malik Nabers has a chance to go before him. I don't think Odunze will go before either one of them. That would be a surprise, too. Our phone number on the Meijer hotline, 866-838-4843. The reason I bring that up is because when we were, in case you missed it, 7:35, we had Jeremy Reisman on, and he's the editor-in-chief of Pride of Detroit, and you can follow him on X at Detroit on Lion. He said wide receiver might be the deepest position in the draft. What else would surprise you in round one? Like, if J.J. McCarthy was taken ahead of Drake May, would that surprise you? Would that shock you? Probably not. I think the consensus is that it's Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels. So that probably wouldn't shock you. Are you versed enough on the offensive lineman to say, I don't know, J.C. Latham would go ahead of Joe Alt? I don't know. Who's the guy who you would like to see? Michael Harry used to do this little draft exercise with people. He would say, give me your favorite scenario for the Lions and then your most realistic scenario. What would that be? So for me, what would be your favorite scenario? Look, they need a right wide receiver. I'd love Malik Nabers. But that's not going to happen. Realistically, this would be tough. They'd probably have to move up. I love the offensive lineman from Washington, Troy Fatano. He's 6'4". He's 317. He's a really good player. He can go inside. He can go outside. I think he gave up just 2 sacks his entire career. Not his senior season. His entire career. That's impressive. That's beyond impressive. Wouldn't mind that at all. Or Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama. This is not a knock by any stretch against Quinyon Mitchell. He's the corner out of Toledo. Root for a Mac guy. Want him to do well. Obviously was a dominant player. I'll be free to admit, I could be reading way too much into this. When Alabama plays the schedule they play compared to Toledo, and usually I'm not a guy like this. Usually I'm a guy who says, you know what? You got to go out. You got to play whoever you play. You got to dominate. If you're going to be that good at the mid-major level, and I'm a mid-major guy, all right, then you've got to dominate. And he did. So give him credit. There has to be something about Quinyon Mitchell that people love. He had to have done something right. I just think when you look at what Arnold did and how good he was and how consistent he was on one of the best teams in America, against some of the best competition you can face in college football, I think there's the difference. You've heard me say with what my philosophy would be, and the philosophy for me would be, I'm drafting by best player available, and if it comes down to need and best player, and they're close, like super close, then I'm probably going to go with need. But overall, I'm taking the best player available. It's the same thing with those two types of cornerbacks. They're probably neck and neck, Arnold and Mitchell. And if that's the case, I'm probably going to go with a guy who has faced that type of competition. So I would probably lean toward Terrion Arnold there. Doesn't mean I'm right. Just saying. That's what I would do. What would you do? Who's your perfect case scenario, but who's your realistic scenario? That's what I want to know on the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843. Or you can text us Sports Radio to 21000. Ben, I know we've got some texts.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's hit some of those texts, shall we?
Okay, yeah. First one is, I think fans and some media are scared to question Holmes. Fans are scared to tweet that this is who the Lions should take because Holmes, Goff, and Campbell keep receipts and let you know those receipts. Kudos to them, but they'd better win this year because, man, they will rightfully cash in their receipts.
Explain to me what receipts means. What do you think it means?
They just remember, what people
said
have said. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, how have they cashed in? How have they? I don't know. When you say winning, this is why I enjoy sometimes conversations a little bit more than text. When you say winning, they better win. I assume they mean you better win it all. Better win the Super Bowl. That's the assumption. Fair or unfair, that's the way it sounds. Phone number is 866-838-4843. I don't recall Brad Holmes ever saying or calling out specific individuals and keeping a receipt. He may have said it generally. Generically, I think that happens to a lot of people. Quick phone call here on X's and Bros, 866-838-4843. Who do we got, Ben?
We got New York Scott.
All right. Hi, Scotty. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, Chef? How you doing, man? Scott.
Good, buddy.
Good, good. I'll put myself as a Giants GM here because I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Not to say I'm not a Detroit fan, but so at six, I think the stupidest thing they do is either move up and get McCarthy or sit and get McCarthy. Either way, at six or at four, or whatever those trade projections are, I think that's the dumbest thing you could do. It's another Daniel Jones, another middle-of-the-pack quarterback when we have so many glaring needs. In my perfect scenario, which is probably the unsexiest scenario, because trust me, I'd love Malik to fall down and you take him and he's a dreamboat, right? But that doesn't help us get the ball out. That doesn't help us pass protect. That doesn't help us in the run game. So realistically, if I'm the Giants GM, I hope Joe falls down. I take Joe. I put him at right tackle. I slide Evan Neal inside. Now I have a monster guard. I got a second-year center. I got a Pro Bowl left tackle. And we just poached Green Bay's guard Runyon. We can go from, on paper, healthy, a bottom three offensive line last year to maybe a top 10, top 12 offensive line, again, on paper, with two bookend tackles and sliding a monster of a man Neal inside the guard. I don't see very many people getting up coming through the middle on Neal, so that's where I would do. That's where I'd sit. I mean, it's not the most exciting draft, but shoot, man, if you can't block and you can't run, you can't play football.
Amen. I love your mindset. Absolutely love it. Joe Ault, he's referring to Joe Ault, the left tackle out of Notre Dame, who is a top 10 pick. And thanks for the phone call, Scott. Sorry that we're up against it. Otherwise, I would have kept you on longer. I'll address that a little bit more on the backside. I love that mindset. That's kind of who I am. But it's refreshing to hear a fan think that way, too. The thing I have a problem with is you said it's not a sexy pick. I think it's really sexy. Anytime you pick a guy who's going to start for you right away and be that much of a difference maker, Joe Ault Wilde, that's sexy to me. I don't care about the position. I care that he's going to be playing every single snap for me. And I think that's really important. We'll get to more of that on the other side when we come back on X's and Bros right after this on the Michigan Sports Network. Stay with us.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soarin' Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Drafts that you looked at over the past month. Probably not as many as you did way back when the Lions were not very good. But people like New York Scott, who called in, probably has looked at 40 to 50 on a pretty regular basis. And most of them, not all of them, most of them have his Giants taking Malik Nabers, which is fine. I mean, some would call him a generational talent. Scott called in and said, you know, I'd really like to see them draft a guy like Joe Ault. He wants to build from the inside out. I love that. Saw a recent draft, mock draft, on NFL.com. Had the Lions taking Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier is the center, out of West Virginia. And if you look at offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen. And sometimes you get guys who can play a little bit of both, right? You get certain guys who can go either inside or outside. For like just for Scott's example of Joe Ault, he's strictly a tackle. Centers or interior offensive linemen, they, depending on which website you look at, draft prospect rankings, Frazier's considered the third best interior offensive lineman. Fatanu the kid from Washington, who I really like and who I had mentioned earlier, is number one. Jackson Powers Johnson of Oregon is number two, just to put it in perspective for you. That's all. But I'm with Scott. I've said this ad nauseum for a long time. I love building a team in the trenches. And the reason I say that is because they are on the field for every snap. I mean, when they're healthy and if they're good, they're going to be on the field. Joe Alt's going to be on the field for every single snap. I know sometimes you'll say wide receivers are not all of them. Not every single snap. Those guys, they'll run 40, 50 yards downfield in a hurry up, and then they'll do it again. You're not doing that for every single play. And I know that's kind of an extreme situation. But overall, you're going to have certain wide receiver packages. I don't think you're in there for most of the plays, but not every single one. Offensive linemen make a difference, are difference makers for running and passing. I wouldn't do it every single draft. I'm just talking about from his perspective and what the Giants need. What the Lions need, they're working for depth, and that's good. They could use a wide receiver. There's no doubt about that. They need a pass rusher. They need a corner. How they go about drafting those guys based on their board is up to Brad Holmes. But that's their needs. Would you love a guy like Dallas Turner? Sure. Coming off the edge? Absolutely. Probably not going to be there for you. Phone number is 866-838-4843. So with that said, if he's number one, that's a big if, but if he's number one on your draft board, off the edge, or maybe it's Jared Verse, the kid out of Florida State. If those guys, and they're gone, you're not going to reach for the next available Latu from UCLA. He's another edge rusher. I think he's third among most draft prospects for that position. You're not going to reach for him if you have Terrion Arnold rated higher, and you could also use a guy like that. I think that's the mindset you should have. But, you know, Scott's like, it's not sexy. I think it's real. Let me ask you, do you think Penei Sewell's a sexy pick now? Is Taylor Decker a sexy pick now? Is Frank Ragnow a sexy pick now? You're damn right they are. I think we, especially when it comes to football, we look at certain positions and we think the only sexy picks are quarterbacks, wide receivers, I don't even think running backs are anymore. Wide receivers, a defensive end, maybe a cornerback. Was Jeff Okuda a sexy pick? No. He was a need pick. That's why everybody loved it. Oh, my God, this is great. Why? We needed a corner. Not if he's not any good, you don't. More text, Ben, right? Who do we got?
Yeah, we actually got a caller, too. Okay, you want to go to the caller?
Yeah, let's go to the caller first.
Okay.
Take the time. They deserve it. It's 8:40. 8:40 on this Tuesday. Who do we got?
We got Freddie.
All right, Freddie, what's up?
Hey, Shep, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Hey, Bob Quinn thought Okuda.
Jeff Okuda. Yeah. Yeah.
And T. Staber. I mean, he couldn't stop watching film on me. He thought they were so sexy.
Second round pick. It's just... Couldn't cover a cold. It's awful. Just awful.
So, first of all, New York Scott, you're dead on. I love it. I don't understand why. I mean, I know it's a mock draft, so you can't believe anything, but why would they go wide receiver? They hate their quarterback, so you're going to get him a wide receiver so you can hate him even more because you won't be able to throw it to him?
In fairness, a wide receiver could help a quarterback, right? I mean, a guy like Malik Nabers is going to help a lot of quarterbacks. He is.
Well, yeah, but I would take my chances with a better offensive line than better wide receiver.
Yeah.
Lions for 20 years pick wide receivers, and we had one of the best ever, and it didn't do us anything. So,
well, it's an excellent point. I don't disagree with that, but just because the Lions were stupid enough to draft those three specific wide receivers, okay. Roy Williams, Mike Williams, Charles Rogers, right? These guys. Doesn't mean that Malik Nabers or the Giants should be punished for drafting a guy who is widely, highly thought of and highly productive. Right?
No, I agree with you. Okay. No, I agree with you. And they should only be punished when we play and we beat them. So that's the only time they should be punished. Let's beat them in the playoffs and end their season. Sorry, Scott. So I called. I have a theory about the 2021 quarterback draft class. And I had a comment about Hendon Hooker, because I'm the one that texted in yesterday about Hendon Hooker. The 2021 class, now, I remember that class very well because of Trevor Lawrence and all that. But I remember the time there was an unnamed GM, wouldn't put his name out there, said about Trevor Lawrence, he thought this kid was going to – is already peaked, meaning his freshman year, he was a true freshman, won the title, and he said – maybe he already peaked. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. And I'm not saying his career is over and he won't do anything, but you know, he might be correct when it's all said and done. He might have peaked as a true freshman in college. You never see a true freshman come in college and do what he did and win it all. Often, or ever. I know Tua did it, but Tua did it in one game, one halftime. And the other four quarterbacks that were drafted, their senior year or their last year in college, it probably wasn't their senior year, they had to play with limited practices, and they didn't play in front of fans. You think that had anything to do with their growth coming to the NFL?
Sure. Absolutely. I think it'd be kind of naive if you didn't. I'm not a believer that Trevor Lawrence did peak his freshman year. I get what you're saying, but I don't look at it like that at all. I think he's been a pretty good pro. I don't think he's been a great pro, but I think he's been a pretty damn good pro. I mean, especially in 2022, he was a pro bowler. He was really good.
No,
you know,
no. I'm just referencing what I just kind of remember things people say, and I just kind of remember it was an unnamed GM.
Yeah.
So I mean, do all GMs know everything? Obviously, no. Bob Quinn didn't know much, so it could have been him. Who knows? But that's kind of my theory on the 2021 class. Now about Hooker yesterday. Now I understand. You know, the Lions wouldn't get higher than a third round pick for Hooker. I understand. I just throw things out there to start a conversation or, you know, something to think about. And I just thought, you know, the Lions rehabbed him for a year. And, you know, if he didn't get here in Tennessee, he could have been a first-round pick. And, you know, maybe a team. I always go back to Ron Wolf. When he took over the Green Bay Packers, what was his first move? He went to Atlanta. He traded a late first-round pick for a guy named Brett Favre.
Right.
Who's Brett Favre? He changed the whole organization. And he played a couple games. And the guy with the cowboy hat, I can't think of his name now, the coach, Glanville, you know, couldn't stand him and blah, blah, blah. And Ron Wolf saw something in him, and he took a chance. Now, you mentioned Zach Wilson. I mean, the last host on this show, me and him went at each other about Zach Wilson all the time. I think Zach Wilson got a raw deal, but he also did it to himself as well. And I think he still has talent. I think he was put in a bad position. I think being in New York screwed him over. And I just think, you know, he's got one more shot. And I just think that, you know, if Denver was serious about getting a quarterback, why not consider second, third, or fourth round pick for Hendon Hooker versus a Zach Wilson for a sixth rounder? That's kind of all I was getting at. I was just starting up conversation. So
no, I appreciate it. I enjoyed very much. I just think, look, there's plenty of times – I believe, and it's a really good example with Ron Wolf, but I'm sure there are times where people in Green Bay questioned what Ron Wolf did in certain situations. Okay. When we're looking at it from afar to make our point, and I do it too, you know, he's one of those guys who wasn't a big analytics guy, and it's a lot different now. But his philosophy was right on. And I think it makes a ton of sense. And his success was incredible, you know. But I do believe that, you know, anytime we want to make a point, we bring up a pretty good but an extreme example too. I don't know everything Ron Wolf did because I'm not in Green Bay. I'm sure there were times in Green Bay, if you talk to Packers fans, they were upset at drafting certain players that he made. Aaron Rodgers might have been one of those guys when he first got there. People probably wondered why in the world he would make that draft pick when you already have your franchise quarterback and so on and so forth. So, look, remember this. As important as it was, okay, at getting Brett Favre, Ron Wolf drafted a lot of quarterbacks. He just, that was one of his philosophies. He believed in that. You know, he also signed Reggie White as a free agent. That was pretty important, don't you think? I would guess so. Let's get to some texts before we got to say goodbye on this Tuesday. Who else we got there, Ben?
Yeah, this one goes back to Boone got ejected.
Yeah. Aaron Boone was ejected in the first inning of New York's 2-0 loss to Oakland yesterday by Hunter Wendelstedt. Go ahead.
Yeah, it says Hunter Wendelstedt was totally wrong, but do you think he can publicly say he was wrong? Because fans always think the umpires are wrong, and admitting he was wrong gives fans more fuel to say that they are wrong.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. I do believe, though, if you don't admit you're wrong, if you continue to stick by what you've said and you want to play that game, I think that gives fans even more fuel. I would hope most fans believe, you know, we all make mistakes. Hunter Wendelstedt made a mistake. I use the example of Jim Joyce. You come out and you say, you know what? I thought I heard this from Aaron Boone or the Yankees dugout. I can see why people would have thought it was a fan. I've never thrown any player or manager or coach out in my career because of what a fan has said. But I understand why people feel like it could have misconstrued. I firmly believe it came from the Yankees dugout. They're telling me it came from a fan. I get it, but I still don't think I'm necessarily in the wrong there. I did what I thought I had to do at that point in time. If I had it to do over again, I might think twice about it. It's not necessarily apologizing, but it's at least acknowledging the possibility. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. Now, that's easy for me to say because, A, I'm not Hunter Wendelstedt. B, I'm not in that whole environment. And C, I just didn't come off an emotional 9 innings of work. So it's easy for me to do that. But those guys get a chance to see the replay. They understand what has transpired. I think it's okay to admit, you know what? Probably not my best moment. Any other texts, Ben?
That was the last one.
Yep. Okay. All right. We got to get ready to say goodbye here on X's and Bros. We're glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Really enjoyed the conversation with you via text or via the phone lines. Really enjoyed it with Jeremy Reisman as well. He's the editor-chief, Pride of Detroit. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Detroit on Lion, rather. And that was a really fun discussion. If you get a chance, go back. We'll put that out. Put that on our website, send it out on social media, and you can listen to that. Great insight. We'll have more guests throughout the week. Dennis Fithian, my good friend, is going to be in the chair tomorrow and on Thursday. And then on Friday, I'll be back at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. I'm going to be there for a Thursday night draft party with Herman Moore, and then I will be back on Friday morning talking to you about the draft and what took place in the first round, and we'll have some guests as well. That'll be a lot of fun for sure. By the way, before we go, we had mentioned this, I think it was last week, right, when the NFL's new jerseys came out, the Broncos, the Jets, the Lions had some different uniforms. Well, CBS Sports ranked the new uniforms. Guess who number one was? The Lions. Here's their comment. The Lions picked a good time to refresh their look, updating their wardrobe with a One Pride collection just as they've returned to relevance on the field. But it helps that they've also opted for a makeover that's both splashy and justified. What's the justification there? The boldest of the strokes is clearly the Motor City alternates featuring black jerseys and blue numbers and helmets. Blue numbers and helmets. Blue helmets. You're not going to... This is where people dig their feet in the sand, right? And I'm one of them, so I'm guilty of it. I'm not saying I'm right here. I'm probably more wrong than right. I don't like them. So you're not going to be able to tell me that it's justified, that they needed a look, that it's bold. The Motor City alternates. Can we just go back to admitting what we know? What is it? They want to sell jerseys, man. You know what this is? It's almost as if this was written by the National Football League's headquarters. Sleek and aggressive, the gray alternates, somewhat reminiscent of the Carolina Panthers. I don't want to be reminiscent of somebody else. I want to be me. I want the Lions to be them. I want all my teams to be them, not someone else. Therein lies the problem. I hate the gray on gray. I hate the blue on blue. Not a huge fan of the white on white. Give me blue on gray. Give me gray on white. Give me white on blue. I'm okay with it. I don't need another color in the Lions uniform. But I talked about that last week. I just wanted to give you a heads up on the national outlook was and how they disagree with me and probably agree more with you. We agree that we enjoy your company. Thanks so much for joining us. Back with you tomorrow morning. Dennis Fithian will be in the chair here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and the Huge Show.
Get ready to win big every Friday in April during Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort's 43rd gaming anniversary. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., two winners will receive $500 in premium play. Then at 10 p.m., one lucky winner will walk away with $4,300 cash. The celebration doesn't stop there. On April 26th at 10 p.m., one lucky player will take home the grand prize of $43,000 cash. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.